right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, so this is one of my favorite times every single week when I get together here on the air with some brethren who've been doing this longer than me. Our own Dale Jackson from WVNN, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, morning show guy, program director. Are you here, my brother?
Oh, Colonel!
Stand at parade rest. All right, next. We've also got Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5, political editor for 1819 News, editor for Breitbart. I'm saying he's the news guy all around. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right. Boomer, I pronounce a quorum. Do you have a sound effect for us? If that is the case, then I convene the Grand Council. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. All right. All right. Here we go. You know the rules, fellas. We ask each other questions. We go round the horn. We see how we agree or disagree, but we always love each other when it's over. So I'm starting with Jeff first this time. Jeff Rowe, what you got?
The base renaming commission put out a report, and $21 million to rename Army bases named for Confederate officers. Among those, Fort Rucker here in Alabama, $1.5 million. What do you guys think of that? Should we be renaming these Army bases, or should they stay as they are?
This is virtue signaling at its finest, in my opinion. I mean, so first of all, and I don't know where all you've been, Dale, when you're in the military, but I spent a ton of time at Fort Benning. I've been down to Fort Rucker, mobbed out of Fort Bragg. And I'm just telling you, ain't nobody walking around there in uniform who looks at the sign and goes, I think I'm on a base named after a Confederate. Nobody does that. General Jack Keane even said the same thing. He said, when people go to these forts, they know the legacy, the history. When I went to jump school at Fort Benning or Ranger School, it was all about being there for the training. Nobody said, I feel bad for me because I'm on a base that might be named after a Confederate. This is ridiculous, and the cost of just changing the stationery alone is going to be through the roof. So, Dale?
Oh, well, okay. You went to a couple places where guys actually did stuff. I was a signal guy. I went to Fort Jackson, Fort Gordon, and Fort Lewis. So we didn't.
Good
we
enough, didn't man.
Crazy stuff like you did. But yeah, I could tell you, look, I can't even tell you, I should know this, but I don't even know who Fort Gordon is named after off the top of my head. So, yes, the soldiers don't care. It's virtue signaling, as you said. And, you know, I find it kind of insulting. I really do. I don't like that my basic training stomping grounds are now going to be changed from Fort Jackson to something stupid. And I'm not a big fan of that. So I hate it for the history reason. I hate it for the monetary reason. And I hate it because it's not going to do anything except make people on the news feel better for 30 seconds while they tell the story.
Yeah. Your own question, Jeff. What do you think?
Well, the original purpose of naming these bases after Confederate officers was to bring the country back together. As strange as that may seem, it was to get the South back engaged, and World War II, you know, all the problems on the planet at the time, the U.S. was getting involved, but it was to try to heal the wounds of the past. And I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that's justification for it was, but there doesn't seem to be an appreciation of that. And it's just kind of like, well, you know, they're traitors and them be damned. But I think that discussion is not enough a part of this whole saga.
And I'll add to that too. We won a whole lot of wars by training men and women at these bases. I mean, there was nothing that impacted military readiness whatsoever. Not a lick. And so the idea that we're having to do this because in some way that makes our military stronger, that's crap.
Agree completely. This is a disaster, and it's embarrassing, and they're going to do it. I mean, one of these guys, that just upsets me. You know, Fort Rucker, you know, the big problem here that we have with all these different places is nobody's actually thinking about what people in the military actually want. And this is all about what's happening in Washington, D.C. and in New York City. That's it.
Yeah. And I guess Redstone Arsenal, I hope nobody equates that to being a partisan in some way, like it's a conservative installation now because it's Redstone Arsenal. All right. I'll take the next question. So story on AL.com caught my attention yesterday. Greg Garrison wrote this piece. Headline is, Birmingham Mayor Laments the Low Attendance on the First Day of School. He says that in the Birmingham City Schools, 20,000 or more students have registered, but many have still not even shown up. They're like at 71% enrollment right now. And the mayor is saying it's important that they're all in school. But I'm wondering, has Mayor Woodfin figured out yet that the policies that he's helping enact are shrinking the size of Birmingham, and that literally we may be looking at a whole lot of people got out of their schools because it's the worst school system also. It's not the mayor's fault per se, but the community there has got to have a different kind of leadership, in my opinion. And we're seeing this right now on school day. Like, thousands of kids are not showing up. Like, where'd they go? Your thoughts. Dale, I'll start with you.
Well, I will point out that during the pandemic in Los Angeles, they said tens of thousands of kids didn't even log in ever.
Yeah.
Since they were out. You have a city councilman saying, there's no education on the first day anyway. I mean, it's not a direct quote, but that's the gist of his comment. You know, maybe they didn't think there'd be any education that day or something. I don't know. But the whole thing is, again, a disaster. I have a kid who started a pre-K this year, and, man, I shoved him right as quickly as I could. Get out of the car. Go. And, you know, I'm ready for him to be gone all the time, so I don't understand these parents, both for his benefit and for mine. So I think that it's just embarrassing for the city, and I think we'll see more stories as that percolates its way around the state of other places around the state having similar issues probably. But there's just no – there. Look, in America today, it's sad to say, but we don't care about the sanctity of life in many different ways. And I don't mean that just in an abortion sense, because, again, I'm the pro-choice talk show host. But we also don't care about education one bit. And that's just becoming more adamantly clear every single day.
And admit it, Grant now runs that classroom, just saying. But
he supposedly was going pretty crazy yesterday. So, yeah.
Jeff, what do you think, man?
You mean the World Games isn't solving all Birmingham's woes? that wasn't what's doing the trick here, guys? Is that what you're telling me?
I hate to break it to you, bud, but yeah.
I thought that was gonna make Birmingham up there with like Milan and Zurich and Tokyo, but apparently they still got some work to do there. But no, there's something going on in the culture too. I mean, this is deteriorated where. I think there's a lot of problems at home, and society doesn't shame people anymore, or whatever society used to do to make parents send their kids to school or even just feed their kids. How about that? And it's continuing to trend in that other a bad direction here, and I think this is a product of it.
I do agree. All right, last question for the first round. Dale Jackson, what you got?
Yeah, I want to add one more thing. The fact that city councilman was able to say what he said and thought nothing of saying that publicly.
Yeah.
Goes to show you everything you need to know. I mean, he didn't even try to save face. He just said a stupid thing because he's stupid. Anyway,
yep.
Speaking of stupid, big thanks to everyone that doesn't live in the city of Huntsville. I really appreciate you guys. You're building a bridge, a pedestrian walkway over the parkway. It's a bridge to nowhere anyone wants to go. It's going to cost $20 million. There's a $27 million grant coming down from the Department of Transportation. I'm not sure if it's one of those roads are racist grants or anything, but it is a grant, $27 million for Alabama. Huntsville gets $20 million. I'm sure it's going to impact my property values somewhat, so thanks, guys. I don't really have a question. I just want to thank everybody.
Well, let me opine with a question as well. So is there going to be a toll for the bridge? I'm asking for Jeff because I know he's pining away on this issue right now.
If it was, Jeff would kill the bridge, so I hope they do it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing real quick, guys. Y'all remember the pedestrian bridge that collapsed in Florida in 2018?
No.
So at Florida International University is a big story at the time. And this is the same. These fancy pedestrian bridges that are kind of a virtue signal to walking and not using automobiles or being more green in your life, these monuments to that culture, that's all they are. But there was one in Florida that collapsed, but they're springing up all over the country, and I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that they're showing up in Alabama finally.
So where in Huntsville is it going to be, Dale?
It's going to go over the parkway from Low Mill to downtown and to Mill Creek. A place where you're going to get stabbed at Low Mill to downtown. It's about a mile and a half, so enjoy that walk, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to take. And then you get to go back and get your car or something. It's incredibly stupid. Again, we can say we want to be a walkable city and all this other stuff. Huntsville's way too spread out for that. Even these areas are too far apart for that kind of stuff. Walking around downtown is just not something a lot of people are going to do. Some people are going to do once when it opens and never again.
Admit it, Dale. The reality here is what's happening is you're jealous that Jeff killed a bridge once and you want to be a bridge killer yourself. That's what's happening here.
Jeff Poore is my mentor. He's taught me everything I know. So, yes, that's exactly it.
All right, fellas, that's round one of the Grand Council. I'll tell you what, perfect segue. We'll go ahead and take a break right now. All right, folks, stay tuned. The Grand Council with Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and our buddy Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down on the nether regions of our coastal areas. We'll be right back with the Grand Council, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We are in the segment we call the Grand Council every Wednesday, 3:30. I'm here with FM Talk 106.5's guy, Jeff Poore, and our own Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville, and little old me. And we're on round two, so I think we're starting back with you. Jeff, what you got, man?
Well, I'll be the one to kind of break the ice on this one.
Oh, I feel it. Go ahead.
The Trump raid in Mar-a-Lago on Monday kind of stunned the world, I think, everybody, regardless of your political stripes. But it does seem like there's two standards here. There's suspicion. There's all kinds of questions about overstepping conventional norms. How far – is this just wishful thinking? But I feel like we're right on the verge of enough people being upset to say we need to reform our intel and law enforcement agencies at the federal level.
I got a lot of thoughts, but Dale, you go first. Did we lose Dale? Did he mute himself again? Dale muted himself again.
No. Your guy had me muted. That's all. That's not. totally on your guy. Nathan did that. Fire that guy. Listen, here it is. I think we need to have, like Jeff said, enough people upset about it. And then you've got to get some power, be it in Congress, in the House, in the Senate. They both need to be changed. And we need to see both the purse strings get tightened, and you also have to see some accountability. Keep in mind, you know, this has been going on for like 6 years now. We had the fake stuff before the 2016 election that we didn't find out about, that Trump was under investigation based off of phony warrants and all that other stuff and fake news. And there's been no real punishment for it. So if you were them, why would you stop? Why would you stop? What happens if people get really mad at you? Well, run and you get a deal from CNN or MSNBC? Okay, then what?
Totally agree. I mean, and some of those, you know, knuckleheads did get pundit jobs. But to answer the question too, I do agree, Jeff. I do think that there's, I think this was like the kicker for me. It certainly was. I watched this, and I mean, I got like. Actually, not upset, like crying upset, but like mad at this. I mean, this idea this happened the way it did, and they're still silent about it, and they know for a fact that what they did has basically alienated half the nation. Well, guess what? Half the nation may well take back the power, at the very least the power of the purse, come November. And I do believe there's going to be a sentiment towards reform. The question is going to be, though, Jeff, is leadership. Because right now, if we have some of the same old leadership, ain't nothing going to change. It's going to have to be leadership with some brass that's willing to go and do it. And that's what it's going to boil down to. Your own question, Jeff, what do you think?
I think politically it's got to be bipartisan. So the only way I see that happening is if one of these agencies screws over a Democrat. And that could happen. I mean, who knows? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Or if it's this perception, say they go after Hunter Biden or something, and that creates this perception that they're just out of control. But I think for real meaningful reform to end this sort of weird era of the hyper-politicization of those agencies, you're going to have to burn a Democrat. And then I think you get people saying, okay, we got to rein these guys back in.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point I hadn't thought of until you just said it that way, was literally, if we look at if the House and the Senate can come back to the Republican side this November, then the Democrats know that in 2 years, oh my gosh, they've got nothing standing between them. It's just Joe Biden is their firewall at that point. And so they may very well jump into some bipartisan reform effort just to prevent the Hillary Clinton investigations, other things they know would be coming if we saw Republicans controlling all of it. So that's a great point. All right, my question, let's see what I got here. Well, you know what? That was my question. I was going down the Mar-a-Lago route. I was literally going to say, let me ask you this. If right now, things being what they are with the power base in D.C., if nothing comes out to show that this was a necessity, this raid was actually necessary, that there was a threat of some kind of national security documents being destroyed or mishandled or getting in the wrong hands, if they can't come back with anything that justifies this, then what? Does it fade away? Or did somebody take action with the current leadership we have right now? Dale.
I think it fades away. I mean, I think that's what happens, and I think that's probably what's going to happen anyway. People have very short-term attention spans, and we'll just move on to the next thing that infuriates us and angers us. I think that's pretty much that's what history tells us, right?
Jeff?
I think it's integral that these guys really put some effort and you know, they talk about weaponizing law enforcement. So Republicans got to weaponize this storyline, and they got to make it work, and they got to show that if Donald Trump is in your crosshairs, and who's to say you won't be in their crosshairs in the future? They got to make that point. They got to connect those dots, and I think that's where you go from here.
All right, we got about 2.5 minutes. So Dale Jackson, what's your last question?
All right, so I've been thinking about this, and, you know, J-Town mentioned it. It's in the same vein. J-Town talks about how defunding the FBI and DOJ talk is just dumb because the agencies are always going to exist. Is it a political loser to go that far? I think it is. I'll just answer my own question before we go any further. I think it's dumb to say that kind of stuff. We're going to defund the FBI. We're going to defund the DOJ. I agree with Jay, the former U.S. attorney who we all had on our shows. I think that people are just really mad right now, so they're saying that. I don't think they're ever going to actually try to do it. So is it dumb to talk about it that way?
I don't think we're ever going to see them go away. I think there's a national security issue there if they go away. But I do think we can see some checks and balances. I do think we can see some here's one thing I think could go away. This bill that just got passed this last in the Senate this last Sunday, if it passes the House, which, you know, indications are that it likely will, and it upfunds the IRS by $80 billion to include upwards of 87,000 new IRS agents, defund the crap out of that. I mean, that alone would make people happy, just knowing the IRS had to maintain status quo and didn't get allowed to double its size and keep the 5 million rounds of ammo they got stockpiled. Jeff?
I do think you're right about that. If they try to defund these agencies, it will get into national security and terrorism, and even the neocons will stand in the way of that. So that's important. But I think there's other ways. I think you could target other things and say we're gonna go after your cowboy poetry or whatever if you don't start talking reform with these agencies.
Cowboy poetry and neocons. I haven't heard those phrases on my show one time yet. Dale, your own question. What you have?
Well, I think it is pretty dumb to be talking about that kind of stuff. I think there's plenty of ways to talk about fixing the agencies and stuff. We'll never be in a world where the FBI doesn't exist and any of that stuff. But talking about defunding them completely and zeroing them out, it's never going to happen. You just can't do it. I mean, we couldn't even get them to defund Obamacare. So you think they're going to get rid of something that is as ingrained as the FBI? You got to change it and talk about changing it. That's the answer.
I totally agree. And I tell you what else is dumb, though. What I don't want to hear is conservatives out there making death threats against FBI members and trying to dox their families, or threats against the judge who signed the warrant, however misguided it might have been. We can't go down that road.
I think all that's overblown, though, don't you think?
I think it is overblown. I think there's always going to be a fringe. But I just don't want our side getting January 6th again. That's what I don't want. All right, fellas, we're out of time. Great, great one. I appreciate you. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, Breitbart and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson, WVNN, Program Director and Morning Show Guy. We appreciate both of you. All right, folks, Phil Williams, we are 2 hours down. Those of you in Birmingham are about to tune in to Priority Talk with Greg Davis. Those of you in Huntsville, we got another hour. Stay with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.